The Jump Around continues. I'm Jim Rutledge alongside Riley Yauch, and we are thrilled to be joined by Nizir Forkarin. And Nizir, I want to just start with this right away, is that your story is it's not just football, it's courts, it's systems, it's not what you went to school for, it's not what you went to go play football for. So I'm just going to ask it straight up. Do you feel like the NCAA in the long run failed you as a student athlete?
I mean, yeah, I would definitely like to think so. Obviously, losing my year right before the season wasn't ideal at all. But at the end of the day, it was a situation where I knew I could be in that type of situation. That outcome could have happened. So it was a little bit my fault, but I think they could have definitely helped me out a little bit, compromised and made something work with me to at least get me on the field or let me know ahead of time. So a little bit in a way.
Yeah, it was definitely a tumultuous situation for you, to say the least. But I know that you had the opportunity to work with the scout team to grow and essentially be a player coach for the younger guys. So what would you say for you? What was the biggest positive out of that experience for you as a player and a person?
Like you just said, it kind of just being able to be a player coach and be around those guys while at the same time not really taking a full toll on my body as of the season, like playing the games and everything. So I think I came out healthy. You know, if I would have played, you never know, I could have got injured and not been in this position I am. So I think just growing as a person, growing as a player, and growing as a man. As a player, I learned more about football. I was able to spend more time with the coaches, Coach Haynes, learn under him a little bit more to grow my game and just build myself as a leader as well by being able to coach those younger guys, try and give back to them what guys have given back to me and what I've learned. So learned a lot about myself, and especially as a person and as a man, the adversity. I've been through a lot of adversity in my life, but this never with my career. You know, this is something that I've dedicated my whole entire life to. So being able to persevere through that, continue to attack each and every day and show those guys that you can, you know, attack whatever's ahead of you, and you can only control what you can control, and that's your mindset with everything. That's where I grew a lot. So
your patience had to be tested a lot. No timeline, no answers, yes answers, then no answers. And then at some point you decided, I'm done with this. What was the reasoning why, and how tough of a decision was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, there was like two more games left. So I think we were going into, I can't remember if that was Illinois. It was one of the last two games. I can't remember exactly which game. But at that point, I was like kind of stringing it along a little bit. There was only two games. The light at the end of the tunnel. At the end of the tunnel kind of started to go away for me. So I kind of just wanted to do that for my teammates. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of trying to let those guys get more and more reps as they could. It was a little bit later in the season. But just trying to let those guys, you know, grow as much as they can and not take as many reps away from people, even though I was on a scout team. So it just felt like the right time to do that.
How did Wisconsin, I mean, Riley kind of touched on it, but how did the university support you, though? The coaching staff, the athletic department, and the actual, just the university. How was that support for you? And obviously, it seems like it was pretty good.
Yeah, that was amazing. Honestly, I couldn't have done it without them. They presented this whole entire thing to me back in, I want to say, December of last year, January of last year, before I even went through with it. But they were through my side the entire way financially. And biggest and most important to me, just allowing me to be around the team. You know, a lot of guys, if I got that strip from me and they weren't letting me practice and act as if I was with the team, travel to all the games, be in all the meetings, it could have did something to me mentally. You never know. You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
For them to just be around, let me be around and be interactive with the team and just grow as a person. And like you said, as a player, stay around the game of football and keep on sharpening my skills, even though I wasn't playing those games, helped me a lot for both my career and just my mental as a person. So I can't thank them enough.
And clearly you sharpened your skills enough where you were picked up by the Los Angeles Rams. So congratulations to you. That's amazing. What was that process like once the season ends and you're prepping? I know you had been talking with the track coach about getting your 40 time up. How was Brady Collins involved? Just walk us through, for someone who has no idea what that's like, what was the experience for you and how did it end with the phone call from the Rams?
Yeah, no doubt. So, I mean, back in December, obviously, you're trying to pretty much the whole season, you're trying to figure out where you want to go to train. And I knew that I wanted to stay around town. Probably I had my lease up for a couple more. I had my lease until the end of April. So I kind of wanted to try and find something around here that was a little bit cheaper. And I also had two of my past teammates, one guy from Grand Valley State and one guy that went to Mentor with me. They came and lived with me so I could help them out. They came from smaller schools. So they couldn't really – they weren't in the position to necessarily – financially trained at some of those top spots down in Florida where you might see guys go. Those are very expensive, you guys don't know, like maybe $16,000 for 2-3 months.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Definitely right. Did not know that.
Yeah. If you don't, and it's for 2 months, they have everything included. It's top notch is why guys go down there. But if you don't have an agent that's covering those type of things, it might be hard to go to those type of places. But so I was able to help them out, train down here. But yeah, like you said, I mean, honestly, it's just figuring that out. Just trusting and believing, having my faith in God and having my faith that it was all going to work out, which I knew it would. You know, all I wanted was opportunity. So I had that faith that even though I missed a year, I feel like I put a good enough film 2024. And my whole thought process was attack this pro day to the best of my ability and show them what I can still do. So, yeah, you talked about it. I ended up training out here. Coach Russo and Coach Brady, they trained me for my bench, my upper body lift days. I would go there. And then I actually went to TAP, the Total Athlete Performance in Verona. There's a Verona location and there's another one in Windsor with Zach Campbell and those guys up there. And they did a great job fixing my agility, working on my speed and everything. So I was supported by a lot of great guys in this process. And once that pro day came up, I killed it. I did my thing. I didn't run as good as I want to do, but you can always improve in so many different aspects. So it went very well for me. Obviously, I'm grateful that it came out with this offer and this opportunity at the end of the day. So
how did you start to realize you might get that opportunity to get with a team, you know, during that pre-draft process as the draft got closer right after the draft? Yeah. Like, and how many teams were interested in you?
Yeah, so throughout the season, I know I was talking to Coach Gillen, my chief of staff. He was telling me teams had still been coming in to look at me every single day at practice. They were coming in, so I was attacking those practices hard, trying to put my best film on tape type of thing, just because I know that that's the only time they're going to get to see me throughout the year. So really attacking that, I didn't get to talk to any of them, but he was letting me know that built my confidence of like, oh, I'm still on the radar, just keep attacking. Then once January came, I didn't really hear much. I talked to like two teams at my pro day, and then I would say like literally 2 weeks before, my agent was putting in work, calling teams and everything, but like not until probably 2 weeks before my pro day did I start really hearing from teams. But the Rams were the team that were most involved with me for sure. I talked to them a lot of times, talked to their cornerback coach, their medical staff, the week leading up to the draft. But that was the team that was heaviest on me. I had a few other teams. There's probably five teams that were reaching out about me and stuff, but the Rams were definitely heaviest. So
yeah, you mentioned those conversations with the Rams cornerbacks coach and whatnot. What do those conversations entail? And have you gotten the chance to talk to Sean McVay or anyone else higher up on the staff? What does that look like?
Yeah, so I have not talked to Coach McVay yet. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it when I get down there if we don't talk before then. But definitely introduce myself to those guys right away when I get down there. I'm super excited. Great, great young coach that I feel like can relate. They have a great team over there. Great opportunity for me to be able to make the team and just join such a good team that been doing good these last few years. So it's a blessing. But as far as the conversations, the corner coach has just called me and the scouts. First off, is my adversity. Obviously, you can't deny the fact that I lost this whole season. So that's one thing that they definitely pretty much supported me about. Like, let me know, like, a lot of people wouldn't have done this. A lot of people would have walked away, would have quit, wouldn't have been able to go through the whole season. So they definitely applaud me for that, and I appreciate them. I had a lot of different adversities in my life and my family, so throughout the years, and I just kept on persevering, kept on going straight, just full head of steam ahead, pretty much. So they definitely applaud that about me, my just how relentless I am in my game, my versatility on the field, just those different things. So they definitely love me as a player, and I'm blessed for this opportunity. I'm excited to get down there and get to work.
And how does this timeline work now? Like, so what are you doing now, and when do you get out to LA? Like, how does it all work for you?
Yeah, so they fly me out May 7th. That's when we report. I think pretty much those first few days, we have a lot of physicals, a lot of medical stuff, staff just making sure – medical stuff, making sure we're okay to get going. I think – I'm not exactly sure the full schedule just yet. I think May 8th to May 10th is like a rookie mini camp. Again, it's kind of acclimated to the system and everything, but right after that, we just get going with the veterans and everything, so I'm excited.
Yeah, best of luck. And you mentioned you've personally dealt with a lot of adversity, obviously, last year, lots of adversity. And bringing it back to the Badgers, the whole team dealt with a lot of adversity last year, going 4-8. But I was watching one of your previous interviews, and you said despite the adversity, last year's team was one of the most connected groups that you've ever been a part of. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that? And how does that happen, even amidst such a difficult season on the field?
Yeah, I think it just comes with the guys in the locker room, just believing. You know, in that first year, 2023, I would say a lot of guys in the locker room didn't believe. Even though we had a better record, I just don't think it felt the same in a way. And even 2024, I feel like we had a lot of quit in earlier games. Like maybe, I remember after we lost to Iowa that 2024 season where we got blew out away. That was horrible. Guys took it in the wrong direction. I think that kind of killed our momentum for the rest of the entire season. We just didn't come to play. So I think this year, even though we were losing games, I think guys were connecting. I think we had a lot of leadership throughout that room. Darryl Peterson did a great job. And then there's guys that lead by example, just guys like Mason Ryder. Guys look at players like that and really gravitate towards them. And then there's young guys that are still in the team like Mason Posa and Coop. You guys know about those guys, and you guys see the potential on the field. But I think what they do in the locker room, even though they're freshmen, guys gravitate towards that. You know what I'm saying? Those guys didn't maybe have the most opportunities at the beginning of the season, but when we started losing, these guys started to rise. These guys started to get better, and you guys started to see these guys show. And it makes you think like, oh, they should have been playing from the jump. But even more than that, I think just that they're mental. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, they're hungry. They're freshmen. They haven't stepped on the field. But I think guys can relate to that, and guys can look at that and get motivated. Like, oh, these freshmen are coming in and balling and balling. And I think just you can see that we had more life. I think we had more life, even though we were losing games. So I think that's a good thing to know, that things are trending in the right direction. And hopefully this year the Badgers can get back on track and get back to where they used to be.
Yeah, as you kind of start your NFL career, have you had a chance, or are you hopeful that you'll get a chance to talk to some of those Badgers who have been in the NFL? Rob Havenstein has played for the Rams. There's been players, you know, whether it's in front offices or as coaching staffs. Chris Orr is a linebacker's assistant with the Chiefs. Like, are you starting to get brought into that Badger alum sort of NFL window there?
Yeah, definitely. Any opportunity I get to talk to those type of guys is a blessing, especially the Badger guys. Those guys have obviously walked the same path I have just ahead of me. So if I can follow in their footsteps, guys like, actually, I'm really close with Muma Najang Mehta. That's my guy. His last name is hard to pronounce still, but Muma's my guy. So I try to reach out to him a lot. I was reaching out to him a lot in this entire draft process, just kind of hearing what he's done, how he's taken things, and especially because he went undrafted. I'm definitely going to be reaching out to him in one of these next couple of days just to see. He went from undrafted and made the 53-man roster his rookie year. So me being able to learn from him. And I actually was working out a few days. I was working out at Next Level in Waukesha with TJ Watt, Jack Nelson, some of those guys, Chimray DK, some of those guys. So talk to them a little bit about some certain things. But, yeah, absolutely. Any opportunity I get, I'm going to be at it for sure.
Yeah, those are some good guys to talk to, that's for sure. Is there anything you learned from TJ Watt specifically? He's been an all-pro defensive player of the year. I understand you play different positions, but is there any nuggets or pieces of advice you picked up from him?
I think the biggest thing just working out with him was seeing how he worked out. It kind of puts into perspective if the way he attacks his workouts, there's no doubt him. It's no coincidence that he's going to be one of the greatest to ever play the game. He attacks workouts like no other, and it makes you think, like, if you're a guy that, for me, if I went undrafted, if this Hall of Fame guy can do this thing, I can do it. And I say that because he kind of has, not that you would ever chill, but he's kind of accomplished so much, and he's still going so hard. So it makes me think, like, oh, if he can attack these workouts like this, I can attack these workouts like this. So I think just his mentality and how he just attacks stuff. He doesn't say much. He didn't say much when we were lifting. He was just at it. Like, he's pushing the guys around him. He's just attacking his workout. You can see how badly he wants it. So it makes you motivated for sure.
Last thing I have for you is, what is your fondest memory of being a Badger?
I would probably just say the guys in the room, just all the locker room talks, all the travels to away games, all the wins and even the losses, just how much we grew together. I've met some of my best friends here, guys like Ricardo Harmon, Amari Snowden, guys like the AJ Tisdale, guys that might not have been here for not even a whole season, maybe one season, or have been here their whole career. So it was just a blessing to meet so many great people and be around such a great traditional program. And the fans, too. Madison's a very welcoming city, and they have so many great people here. And it was just I couldn't have went any better. it blew my mind, honestly. It was better of an experience than I thought it was going
to
be. So
I do want to say that speaks a lot to you, but obviously your teammates in the program, the athletic department, and the fans, but to you to say, like, I don't regret it. It was amazing. Because I think there's a lot. It's not anyone's fault here in Madison, but there's a lot to regret because of the NCAA. And you still took that attitude. I think that really speaks a lot.
No, for sure. I appreciate that. And that's the dead honest truth. I tell people all the time, I do not regret it. Like, I would, 100 out of 100 times, I would go through the exact same process. Because obviously, I know what I know what could have happened. I truly believe if I would have played this year, I would have dominated. I would have been a high draft pick at that. I truly do believe that because of how much I grew from 2023 to 2024. But that growth from 2024 to 2025 was even more. And you guys didn't get to see that, so it's all say. But at the end of the day, like, I truly do believe that. But even though it didn't go the way we wanted it to, like I said, I learned so much about myself that's going to take me way past this football field. And I feel like I influenced so many guys on this team in so many different ways, just being around these guys. And like I said, showing them that I wasn't even out there playing, and I was attacking these practices. Like you would have thought I was playing the next day. I was going that hard, and I was trying to show these guys, no matter what, you just attack what you got to do. So it was a blessing.
Yeah, I know, me personally, echo what Jim was saying. Obviously, we didn't get to see you last year, but I'm taking you at face value that you would have balled out and dominated last year. But
I appreciate that. Of course.
I have two more quick ones for you about this coming year's Wisconsin football team. One small picture, one big picture. Coach Haynes and then the new cornerbacks coach, Robert Steeples, said that Jameer Scott was the most talented natural cornerback they have seen step on the football field. You got to watch him play a little bit last year. You got to see him work. Do you agree with that sentiment? And what do you think Jameer can do this coming season?
No, I do agree. Jameer is a great guy, great competitor, and a fierce competitor at that. I think the thing that stands out to me most about him is his ball hawk mentality. I think he's a guy that's going to make a lot of turnovers. Obviously, last year we didn't have that many turnovers, and the year before we had even less turnovers, I'm pretty sure. And I think that he's a guy that can change that completely. He's going to go get the ball when it's in the air, and he's not going to back down from anybody. I'm so excited to see what he can do for you guys this year. I know he's going to do great things, and I know he's hungry. I know that for a fact because I know last year redshirting hurt him, but I try to tell him each and every single day. I try to mentor those guys and tell them, like, redshirting is a blessing. Even though you might not be on the field, everybody wants to transfer out right away if they're not playing right away. It's a blessing. You're at a Division I program. You're able to learn under the starters. You're able to get those meals, be in those meetings, and lift with those guys and just build yourself. So when you hit that ground, when you hit the field, you can hit it running. And that's one thing that I know he's going to do. He's going to come out there. He's going to compete. And I'm excited for what he's going to do. He's going to have a great year this year. I'm very, very excited for him.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it. Now, last one, big picture question. I've been talking to a lot of players, specifically players who decided to return to Wisconsin this coming season, and it seems that they are all, the common thread is that they're all bought in on Luke Fickell as the head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers, whereas a lot of fans are really not bought in on Luke Fickell as head coach of the Wisconsin Badgers. So as you, someone who was recruited by him, who's lived it, what's something maybe fans don't see or don't understand about Luke Fickell? What makes him a great coach and a coach that these guys believe in and think that he's the dude to turn it around?
I think that obviously you would think that a coach cares, but I don't think you guys understand how much he does care. Obviously things haven't went the way we would have wanted or he would have wanted, but he definitely does care, and he cares a lot. I know that each loss, each time we don't win, each time he disappoints, each time he underperforms or we underperform, he takes that to the heart. He takes that on him. He doesn't blame it on any of the guys that are on the team. He doesn't blame it on his coaching staff. He takes it on him himself. And losing, obviously, he has a historic winning record with in his high school wrestling days. I don't think he lost at all or whatever it may be, but he hates to lose. Like, he truly does hate losing, and he'll let you know that. You can feel it just being around him. And he's going to do anything in his power to get this program back to where he wants it and where it should be. So that's the one thing I'll say is how much he cares. We know that. We see it. And I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to change this thing around this year. So,
well, Nizir, we appreciate the time. And when you're on Monday Night Football or Sunday Night Football, just make sure to say Wisconsin Badger when you get that chance.
I got you. I appreciate you guys having me on. It was a great time.
All right.
Of course. Thank you.
All right. This has been the Jump Around. On ESPN Milwaukee and ESPN Madison's YouTube streams.